really impressed with the resiliency of the retailers and the business and how well it held up. If it kept your food cold or frozen or kept your clothes clean, you know, you couldn't keep it in stock.
Was there anything surprising as far as, you know, what you saw dealers in the space doing to sort of kind of navigate these the uncertain waters that they had to?
The dealers who were not quite omnichannel ready, for those guys to just get on board with making sure their e-commerce omnichannel platform and readiness was there, from adopting chat to payment gateway to curbside delivery and scheduling appointments online, all those things and all those ways to, you know, navigate through the times has been really impressive to watch.
Last couple of weeks, you know, we've been talking to a bunch of different business leaders here at Nationwide about how they've navigated the past dozen or so weeks during this global pandemic and coronavirus and all that sort of stuff. And this week, no different. But the story is one that actually has a little bit of more positive spin to it, and that's because that voice right there was that of Mr. Doug Reedy, our VP of Appliances. And of all the categories, you know, that we represent and make available to members here at Nationwide, appliances was the one that really, for reasons that have to do with the businesses being deemed essential, was able to thrive in essence during the coronavirus and shutdown of the economy and all that kind of stuff. So we got into it, Mr. Reedy. We talked about, you know, the positives of being deemed essential and kind of what he saw during the first 10 weeks or so of coronavirus and how retailers fared. And but that, you know, being deemed essential and meanwhile, you know, it did present a lot of challenges as well that retailers are going to have to consider for the second half of the year, that being, you know, a lot of factories were shut down. Obviously, demand was high during this time, so order levels are up there, and a lot of things to consider is, you know, the supply chain sort of tightens up as we prepare for the second half of this year. So had a great conversation with Doug about, you know, what he's seeing, what he's hearing from members and vendors in the appliance space. So, you know, a lot to consider, but a lot of positives and a lot of opportunities as well for appliance dealers during the second half of the year. So really great conversation, one I'm excited to share with you. Appreciate Doug hopping onto the Independent Thinking Podcast, and let's dive into it. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and Mr. Doug Reedy, it's been a while since we've podcasted. So first of all, appreciate you taking the time and logging in from your home and chatting with us for Independent Thinking Podcast.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me. I miss you, bud. Let's do this.
I know. I know. I hear you, man. It's like I said, it's been a while. I was thinking the last time we podcasted, you want to think about how different things were. We were talking about TVs and electronics, and I wasn't even with Nationwide. So think about that for a second. So, my, how things have changed.
Yeah, so, a lot of things. I miss you. I miss a lot of people right now.
No, I hear you. And hey, to that end, how's everything going? How are you holding up?
Good, man. I appreciate you asking. We've all adjusted to working from home, and the family's doing good. And, you know, just the new normal, trying to figure out what that looks like, just like we all are.
I hear you. Getting more use out of our, you know, whether it's electronics, appliances, furniture, we're putting it through the paces.
Yeah, exactly, man. Thank God for technology and Teams. We've about worn this platform out. I've been on probably 8 different conference call platforms over quarantine. So I don't know if I'm on Teams or Cisco or GoToMeeting or I don't know what I'm on right now. I got them all downloaded.
I hear you, but it's definitely, you know, I was talking to someone else. I forget who it was. It might have even been on our last podcast with Dev, but it was described to me kind of thinking about, you know, everyone's been talking about the new normal. He put it, or whoever it was, put it as the next normal, kind of looking to sort of how things have adjusted and kind of, you know, where things are heading, because, you know, new normal, it just doesn't feel right, because it'll be constantly evolving, I think, kind of the way we operate and stuff like that. But, you know, next normal is sort of a cool way of looking at it. And but, you know, to that end, this appliances space, you know, that you cover now, as our VP of appliances for Nationwide. It's really been, I think, the category that kind of stands out during all of this. It's not that it hasn't been impacted. Everything's been impacted. But, you know, are you surprised at it's sort of how it has performed during this time?
Yeah, no question. It's it has been incredibly resilient during the, you know, COVID time period. I would say, you know, Q1, we ended pretty strong as a group. The industry was about 1.8% positive in units, and we were about 2.2. So we felt pretty good coming out of Q1, but it was right there at the end of March where, you know, things really started to pick up and the pandemic really started to hit a sense of heightenedness and awareness, and shelter in places kicked in. So we had a rough April. I'm kind of hoping that April is the worst of it. That month is behind us. You know, we're looking at closing out May as we have a conversation right now. We know Memorial Day was strong. So, you know, really, really, really impressed with the resiliency of the retailers and the business and how well it held up. You know, I kind of have a saying where if it kept your food cold or frozen or kept your clothes clean, you know, you couldn't keep it in stock. It, refrigeration and freezers and dish and laundry really, really took off and really became, you know, high demand products, which is quite frankly the, you know, the headwind we're going to face for the back half of the year is just availability. But, you know, the retailers have been great. You know, we've found ways to navigate through, you know, quarantine and having stores closed, but finding ways to deliver. And so it's been good. You know, it's been, the business has been great. So we all could use a little more product, but happy to see Memorial Day bounce back. And we're optimistic about July 4th.
And I know, you know, you talk about sort of how it has held up. It was, the category was really, and I say the category, I mean, the retailers in the category were certainly buoyed by the fact that, you know, they were deemed essential. It was kind of one of those things early on. Everyone was talking about what's going to be an essential business, and certainly keeping the food cold, keeping the dishes clean, and your clothes clean was a big part of, you know, the reason why this category was deemed essential. So, what were some of the things outside of being deemed essential? Was there anything surprising as far as, you know, what you saw dealers in the space doing, or maybe even vendors too, to sort of kind of navigate these the uncertain waters that they had to?
Yeah, but I think I was, you know, ever impressed about how our dealers, you know, remained flexible and pliable in the environment around them. I mean, the dealers who were not quite omnichannel ready, for those guys to just get on board with making sure their e-commerce omnichannel platform and readiness was there, from adopting chat to payment gateway to, you know, curbside delivery and scheduling appointments online, all those things and all those ways to, you know, navigate through the times has been really impressive to watch.
Yeah. And I know, you know, we talk about trends too. There's a lot to have been following during this time. And early on, one of the biggest, I think, surprises to all of us was watching the freezer category, the freezer segment. You know, everyone was buying up freezers and we're not sure why, but they were. It was kind of like, you know, toilet paper and certain foods, and then freezers or, you know, I guess obviously to keep food, you know, able to be around for longer and store it for longer. But were there any outside of freezers, which I know, you know, was a big trend, were there any other trends that you were kind of following throughout this time, you know, as the pandemic really set in?
Yeah, no, I can't say trends as much as I was just surprised to see how quick we recovered. I mean, I really thought, you know, we really thought and planned for a much worse, you know, trend of, you know, tough business and headwinds. Now, look, we're not out of it. Supply is definitely strained. You mentioned freezers. I mean, we've got back orders in the system that will not deliver until sometimes October. In some cases, we're being told on ETA. So, you know, that category definitely got the demand in that category definitely got caught on its heel. So
that's crazy. And I mean, you've been kind of hitting at it a couple times here, but demand and availability obviously is going to be something that is an issue kind of looking ahead. So, I mean, what is it? Well, first of all, what are you seeing from an availability and supply chain perspective? And then I'll follow that up with, you know, why do you think some of those, is it because of need for those product, or is it actually, I know we also heard too, you know, factories were closed because, you know, manufacturers weren't being able to produce. Is it kind of all that compounding on itself that's creating those issues?
Yeah. If you go back to sort of, you know, March, April, really we had a lot of factories that either closed or, you know, had to be, you know, had to be repositioned to accept the social distancing and precautionary measures, and the distance between factory workers had to be, you know, enhanced to 6 feet. So between factory closures and just all those precautionary measures, yields have gone down. So we've seen obviously a hiccup in the demand because of that. And, you know, we it's getting better. I would tell you, we haven't really had any factory closures recently. The yields are still down though, because of the measures in the factories. But, you know, I think, I don't know when we're going to be out of the clear, but you know, we're being told and feels good right around Labor Day, would be like a good time that we could say, eh, maybe we're out of it. It's just really too early to tell.
That's crazy. I mean, hindsight kind of 2020 at this point, but you know, looking ahead as you try to learn from this, you know, what's sort of the message to dealers? How could they have prepared for, I mean, you can't predict supply shortages and things like that, but you know, what's sort of the lesson moving forward about being prepared, not for a second pandemic per se, but you know, any situation where there might be supply shortages like this?
Yeah, I mean, look, those who may have seen this come in and or anticipated the needs of the demand in the market, you know, some of our guys did order heavy and brought in product early. There was really no handbook for a pandemic, so nobody really knew exactly how fast or how much an inventory they really needed. So, you know, getting ahead of that and ahead of advance, I think probably will be an indicator that we can, you know, we can learn from. But really the ability to just be flexible, you know, not that there's a lot of product in what you need or you carry every day, but if you keep your eye on, you know, some obsolete inventory and discontinued inventory and some of the core models that some of the guys are working on, you know, focusing on producing, you know, there's a chance to, you know, keep your inventory levels at some stock levels, as long as you're willing to just be flexible with what's available.
Gotcha. And what about on the other side of that too? You know, for dealers that are anticipating these shortages and know that they're coming, obviously we're talking about them. What are, you know, any advice or tips for kind of how they can manage it or, you know, maybe not full blown business strategy ideas, but you know, what can they do to kind of alleviate some of the stress that might come from, you know, some of these short stocks that are, you know, they're facing?
Yeah, the answer is, again, it's still kind of the same, right? We just need to try to be flexible and not be scared to shift the business to another brand. If you're not carrying a brand, if, you know, if you have one supplier that has product and you don't normally carry that brand, but you need, under the circumstances, you need to bring in a brand, you need to consider that. I mean, it's time to consider some of that stuff, because we do have some suppliers who are in better shape than others, and are able to fulfill goods right now. So we need to make those considerations and take those pretty seriously, even though sometimes those are not easy decisions to do.
Fair. You know, I've talked to a lot of members during this time, a few for the podcast, a few just, you know, offhand to kind of see how things are going. And I'm sure, you know, you have as well, members, vendors, all the above. Any cool stories come out of this for you? Anything that kind of stands out as far as whether it's a win or just something that, you know, a member or vendor was doing that really stood out to you that kind of made you stop and think for a second, like, wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of, you know, inspirational stories that come out of this. You know, a couple of things. The vendor side was kind of cool. You know, Electrolux really did a hero pay program for their employees who showed up to the factory and rewarded them for, you know, sticking in there and hanging in there. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, in some cases, other suppliers, they're all the way up to their, you know, management level team are working in the warehouses and working in the factories and checking temperatures. So it's really cool to kind of see the participation at all levels, kind of to get engaged there. You know, from the retailer side, I know you talked to some and you shared some of those. You know, I can think of one, Shoeys and Sons donated some laundry pairs to first responders in their local area. So that was really cool to see that. And that's a small example of how some of the retailers, you know, really contributed to their markets and the cause.
That's awesome. It's cool to see all those things. I think, I forget the exact what member it was, but I know there was a member early on too that donated, you know, a local EMT house had a couple of washers and dryers go, and to see them just step up and be like, hey, here's like three sets of washers and dryers for you guys that are, you know, living at like this EMT firehouse and just different stuff like that. I know, you know, I know it's not specifically appliance, but, you know, we have a member that was helping create PPE and members create PPE all over the country. So those kinds of things are always awesome to hear.
That first example you gave was Shuey and Son.
There you go. There you go. So that was them.
No, it's cool. It was very, very cool. They did.
No, that's awesome. You know, how about kind of, you know, any oddball is the wrong word, but any fun opportunities that exist for the independent dealers out there that you're kind of looking for, sort of thinking differently that they can kind of take advantage of the second half of the year?
I wouldn't say fun, but you know, I think right now, you know, we've got a critical second half, right? It's pretty important that we land our plane in the second half of the year and we stay focused on making sure that we recover well. You know, inventory is going to be the biggest concern probably on most of our minds. So we've really got to do our best to just make sure we at the independent channel get our unfair share. So that's probably priority one, is just making sure we get our unfair share of inventory allocation and meet the demand of the customers. So other than that, you know, you've seen a lot of great preparations for how we're going to thrive in the second half if we can make it through Q2. So
it's crazy. It's it's funny thinking back to kind of that the keynote from February, and obviously all signs were pointing positive for 2020, and you never know what kind of haymakers the retail industry is going to throw at dealers, but you know, this channel just finds a way. It's always, you know, whether it's inspiring or cool to hear the stories, but kind of the one thing that has always stood out to me is just the flexibility. It's to your point, you know, you mentioned it, the flexibility and ability to adjust on the fly, something that, you know, bigger operations, it's impossible to kind of steer those ships in a way that, you know, adding things like e-commerce or chat so quickly to a website and getting those things deployed really kind of stands out as sort of difference makers for game changers for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of our strengths of the channel, is our ability to pivot quicker and not have to worry about a lot of red tape and resources to go through. And, you know, we're much, much smaller, nimble organizations, our owners and operators. So their ability to kind of pivot and turn and adopt a new process has been inspirational.
And, you know, to that end, this is not something I'm catching you off guard with, because I know it's something you've been working a lot on and should be excited about. This morning, actually, as we're sitting here recording this, I forgot that, you know, we had a call today to talk about a tool that's launching that I think you should take maybe a minute to talk about, and that's the ART. You want to tell us what ART stands for?
Yeah, I'm not going to claim to be the subject matter expert on ART, but we have a very talented individual on our team, Mike Collier, who's, you know, pioneered the assortment rationalization tool, ART. Yep. And you know, he's going to be bringing that to the membership for the back half of the year as a great value tool. It really allows our retailers to make sure that the SKUs they carry or want to carry are being the most productive, providing the most productive results they can in your portfolio. So it's weighted based on a lot of measures, including industry input, velocity of sellers, margin, all those things. So very, very cool tool, and excited to bring it to the membership. And I know Mike Collier will do a much better job landing the plane on how that thing works, because he's been living it for quite some time, but it's a cool tool.
No, that's awesome. And you know, we have plans to get Mike on here and talk to him as well. But I figured, you know, got the appliance guy on the line to talk about a tool that is certainly, you know, he gave us a quick run through of it this morning. And I really look forward to having him on to dive deep into it. And, you know, we've got some awesome promotional plans around that to get the word out there about what's going on with ART. And the tagline is something I love: ART, the science of retail. So, you know, he's got a lot of exciting things happening there. And I think just another example of, you know, just a tool that can be in this independent retail channel's, you know, tool belt and be a difference maker for them.
Yeah, it's another good example too of, you know, the ability to use data to arrive at good business decisions. And that's kind of what ART is going to be able to allow us to do, is take out somewhat of the human element and just provide facts and results on facts.
That's awesome. Well, you know, look forward to seeing, you know, this channel, or channel as a whole, has fought, you know, during this time, but this category in particular has been one that's, you know, been interesting. I think exciting too. You know, it's been exciting to follow, to kind of see how resilient it's been, and look forward to seeing, you know, what comes through in the second half and how these tools, how all these programs kind of work out for you guys. And I expect big things. You know, no pressure on you, Mr. Reedy, but big things coming from appliances for our dealers and nationwide. So,
I love it. I live and breathe it every day, and I appreciate you bringing some awareness to the category and the members. So, thanks for doing that, Rob.
Hey, not a problem, and happy to tell those stories as always on our Independent Thinking podcast. So, stay well, man. Hope to be connecting with you in person soon.
Same to you, sir. Be well, everybody.
Awesome. And again, thank you to Doug Reedy, our VP of Appliances, for stepping onto the Independent Thinking podcast from home and chatting with us about everything he's got going on, what he's following in the appliances space, and pointing to some opportunities that could exist during the second half of the year. And that art program, the art tool is one that I can't overstate it. Look forward to sharing more, as that information becomes available. So look out for that, and look forward to sharing that with you. So, but again, as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking podcast, and we will catch you next time.